Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hi, welcome back to another episode of Make It Cute. I'm so happy that you're here. I know it's been a little bit since I've put out an episode. February has been such a busy month, but I know that you guys have been loving the past couple of episodes, the Am I the Asshole series, the Taylor Swift content. I mean, you guys know we talk about everything here. So I'm really excited to be joined by Katie Hess, and I'm going to let Katie introduce herself, but we're going to have a really fun conversation about a slurry of things. I mean, if you decide to peek in the description and see what we're going to be talking about, so be it, but I'm not going to spoil it up front. So Katie, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Miles. I'm so happy to be here.
And Katie, just in case our listeners don't know, please just tell us a little bit about yourself. As with any guest, we'll have all of the fun, relevant, like, handles, socials, websites, whatever the case may be, linked in the description. But just tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey.
Yeah, so I own a company called Lotus Way. I'm author of a book called Flower Revolution, and my main goal in life is to reconnect people with nature, but also to reconnect people with the greatness of who they are and the potential of who they can be. With a little help from flowers. I work with a modality called flower remedies. I love to educate people about it because it's so easy and so simple, and it just like takes the edge off of life. So I'm sure we'll be able to talk a little bit about that. And then it goes in so nicely with your cocktails. So I love being able to share about something that's so easy and natural and fun that makes us feel better.
I love that. And I think one thing that I try to do with this podcast is there are certain episodes that I've put out where I just try and encourage people to kind of be their best selves. And it sounds like, you know, you're doing that with your flower botanicals and elixirs and kind of like the mission of your company. And I think that's awesome. And that's one reason why I was super excited to have you on the show, because I think we kind of have very similar goals, just a slightly different way of approaching it. And I think it's just like, whenever, especially with the pandemic, I feel like I mentioned the pandemic on the show so many times just because it's hard to talk about anything currently without recognizing like what's happening. And I think that's part of the reason why I started the show, right? Is because I wanted to find a way to bring more fun, more positivity, and of course, more booze into people's daily lives whenever they may have not had that opportunity to go out and hang out and just like when they were feeling down on themselves. So I'm just so excited to kind of get into this conversation. So Katie, you are a business owner, you are an author. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. What are your hobbies? What do you like to do? Do you like to, I know that you mentioned you love nature. So do you like to hike or, I'm not going to throw too much out there. Let us know.
Oh my gosh, free time. That's a wild card. I love spending time in nature, but I live in Phoenix, Arizona, so I'm often in the city. I love meditating. I love dogs. I have one who's scratching at the door, so I'm just going to let her out so she doesn't disturb us.
Of course. And whenever you get back, I'm super excited to hear more about this dog because I love dogs and I want to know, you said it's a she?
It's a she. It's like a cute small pit bull mix, and she's the mascot of the school. So in 2020, one of my roommates is a teacher, and my niece was struggling with online schooling. So we have this 15,000 square foot building called the Sun Center here in Phoenix, and we were like, sure, we'll host the school. And then one of our dogs became the mascot of the school. So she's kind of like roaming, and it's really nice to have her in our business day, but also she's pretty demanding.
Oh, I can understand. It's so funny because I was just recording a podcast that's also on our network. If you guys haven't checked it out, it's hosted by Molly McAleer, who also executively produces the show. It's called Mother May I Sleep With, and it's a Lifetime movie podcast. We talked about a really fun movie, but at one point during the episode, she had to end up going to like tend to her cats because it was about 6:30 on the West Coast, and her cats every day at 6:30 will vocally tell her like, this is what I need. I need a snack. So I definitely understand, like, you know, the demands of our furry ones in our households. I wish I had one. I've been trying to get my coworker to let me pet sit for him. And we set a date, but it's a couple months out. but nonetheless, so you said that you're in Phoenix. So do you find, like, this is just like a question I more so have. Being in Phoenix, I feel like notoriously during the summer, it's like hot. So do you summer in Phoenix or do you tend to like go where it's a little bit more like bearable and you can kind of be outside a little bit more? Just more so personal question anytime I talk to anyone from Arizona.
Yeah, usually during the summer I travel. So in like 2000, well, for a while, every year summer I was going to Asia. So like 2019 was the last kind of long 3-month excursion throughout Asia because we're really trying to grow our business in Asia as well. So yeah, summertime is a great time to get out of Phoenix because it's you can fry an egg on your car. But you know what? The last couple of years, since I didn't really travel, I got a chance to explore some of northern Arizona. And it's funny because it could be 115 degrees here, but if you just drive 1 or 2 hours north, it's about 20 degrees cooler. And it's so beautiful. It's just so – Arizona is such a beautiful state. You can come visit anytime.
I'm going to be there in December 2023 to walk across the stage because I'm currently going to Arizona State University for my master's.
That's right.
Yes, we will try and like grab coffee or something whenever I'm there. It'll be December, so it'll be like bearable too, which I'm very excited about.
It'll be beautiful.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. And for the listeners, speaking of beautiful things, like Katie has the like most aesthetic background. Like so when I've guest on, we do video like so then we can see each other, but she has like all these flowers and plants and it looks like a wall of botanicals. Are those the botanicals that you do through Latest Way?
Yep, sure. They sure are. It's nice to have a little army of flower elixirs behind me.
Amazing. And I saw before the show, could you tell us a little bit about how they work? Because I think I saw you spritzing them kind of in the air beforehand. Mm-hmm. And I would love to know a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So they've been around for thousands of years. Sometimes, you know, people think, oh, is this a new concept? And you can see them in just about every culture and every continent around the world. Except in the olden days, the way that people took this medicinal was that they would drink the dewdrops from the tops of flowers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So every morning they go out, find a particular flower, drink the dew from that, from the top of that flower. And every single flower has a really different benefit for our mind and heart. So in the 1930s, luckily, there was a doctor who figured out how to scale the dew because we don't even have dew here in Phoenix.
Oh, I can imagine.
So really what it is it's like the supercharged life force of the flower. And it's stored in water and it's stabilized by alcohol. You know, and now you can bottle it up. So basically, like you can bring that power of nature into your everyday life by, you know, just putting a few drops in your coffee, water, tea. And I think for some people who are skeptical, they're like, wait a minute. So you gather flower energy in water? Like that sounds super woo-woo, right? But if you think about like, how does a cell phone work? You know, we're sending, you know, podcasts and videos and poetry and music and everything. Over these invisible waves that we can't see across.
Right.
Like it's like absolute madness how it works, right? None of us really understand it.
Absolutely.
So if you think like in terms of the earth is 4.5 billion years old, that's a lot of wisdom. The flowers are like antenna. I think of it as like floral Wi-Fi. So when we walk in the woods or in the desert or in the you know natural setting, we're constantly uploading, downloading information. We just don't think about it because we can't see it. But in the same way that our phone is connected through Bluetooth so we can listen to our favorite music on a speaker, the same kind of thing is happening with nature with Mother Nature and with us. So this is just a way, the flower remedies are a way to like bring that into our everyday life, since we're not able to necessarily, you know, be like frolicking in the wild flowers every day.
Oh, that is so cool. So the people at home can't really see this, but I was just like hanging on to every single word of that, because that's such an awesome analogy. Like, I feel like one thing that we don't really think about, right, is that technology is a relatively new thing, right? Maybe like the last 300 to 400 years. And even modern technology and the way that we see it today is probably the last, what, 30 to 40 years. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just the skeptics or the cynics, I feel like flowers have been around for a lot longer than that, right? It's like, and like you said, it's just like this whole network of interconnectedness. And fun fact, mm-hmm. I have a tattoo of the Celtic Tree of Life. And in that particular rendition of the Tree of Life, the roots and the branches are connected. It forms a big circle. And one of the kind of like interpretations of that is that like everything is connected, right? The roots are connected to the branches and everything kind of like is a big network of entities. So I love that kind of description of the flowers and the environment being this way of like uploading and downloading. And maybe that's why whenever we go to the beach, we feel more naturally at ease. There's those cues, whether it's from the water, from the trees, or from the space around us, versus whenever we might have, and actually I'm curious about this, is there, do you know of like any like certain emotions that are triggered by certain spaces? Like for me, like whenever I go camping, right, during the day, I'm super excited. I love it. I'm energized. There's the sun, the flowers, all that. But at night, I have this like sense of anxiety because I can't really see past myself. So do you have any examples of like when that has happened? Or even, it sounds like you're very well traveled. Have you experienced like those highs and lows, or those, you know, that emotional range and diversity through natural traveling?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's totally natural that you feel different at night than you do during the day, because there's just such different phenomenon occurring. And there, you know, in terms of places, every place around the world has a sort of kind of quality to it, I noticed. And the only reason I noticed it is because of collecting the flower essences and then just seeing what they were all for and seeing what they had in common. I think if you've traveled, you've had that feeling, even just like if you fly to Canada and you get out, and then you fly back to the US and you get out, right? Or you fly to Mexico, like places that are really close by, or, you know, you fly to Taiwan or Japan, you get out of the plane and you feel that the collective consciousness feels different.
Right.
Like, you know, I remember even just like going to Canada and then coming back in the US, and I was like, my God, we are so stressy here. You know, in comparison, like the energy, you feel it like the moment you get off the plane. So there around the world, there are certain places like where the energy, the botanicals, they all have like a certain theme. So like, for example, Iceland is like the center of childlike wonder. Costa Rica is good for like unearthing and dissolving subconscious hidden fears. Southeast Asia is like abundance and prosperity and opportunities and possibilities and clarity about where you're going in life. So, you know, even though each flower is very different in its like nuance and specificity, the areas around the world, absolutely. And I think people are drawn to visit places because they want to absorb more of whatever that place has to offer. And it's a language that we speak. We just don't really know we speak it, and we're not, you know, because we can't see it. But even if you just think of like, okay, Miles, like if you close your eyes and you say, like, imagine you're in this like super luscious rose garden. It feels a certain way, totally different from if you transport yourself into an ancient old growth redwood forest in Northern California. Feels totally different than if you bury your face in a giant peony flower, right? And they can open your eyes if they're closed. We know that the different flowers and botanicals make us feel different, right? And like, you probably wouldn't give your lover white daylilies for a special day, right? Or you wouldn't give your mom 12 long stem red roses for Mother's Day. Like, these are things we just know inherently. This is a language we already speak. We just don't necessarily know that we speak it. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, these, you know, depending on where you go and the things you're drawn to, like you could walk into a flower shop today and you will always be drawn to exactly what you need. Like the botanical that will offer the benefits that your inner landscape is craving. You'll just go right to it.
I'm like just processing that because like it was so like, you know, it was 15 seconds of kind of transporting myself from like place to place, but I could feel it. And actually one thing I want to kind of double back to is when you mentioned Iceland is kind of like the emanates this energy of like childlike wonder. I was just in Iceland back in October. And honestly, it's so true because when I was there, like I just felt so curious and just so like wanting to know more. I was exhausted. I took a red eye over from New York City and I landed around like 8 a.m. And then I had a 10-hour tour of like driving up and down like the country and seeing all these different waterfalls and glaciers and volcanoes and ashy beaches and all this other stuff. And every time we went to a new place, I felt like I don't ask these many questions in my daily life, right? Like I'm not always this curious, but I was just so curious. I just wanted to know more. I'm like, why this? Why is Reykjavik named Reykjavik? And fun fact is in Norse, Vík is bay. And like if you think about the Vikings or Vikings, it means to hail from the bay. So Reykjavik actually means smoky bay because of the natural steam that pushes up from the ground because of the volcanic activity. So it's so fascinating that like that was something I didn't even think about. Like, oh, now in personal reflection, I'm thinking, wow, this is so spot on. I really like was just curious and like, why? Like, I feel like that's the one thing that when you're talking to a child, right? It's like you'll say something, you'll say the sky is blue and they won't say, okay, the sky is blue. They'll say, why? And then you'll explain, oh, it's the light refraction or whatever the case may be. And they're like, but why? And it's like that consistent like cycle of why. I don't think I've felt that in a while, but when I was there, I definitely felt that like, why is this happening? Why is this? Tell me more. I want more. I want more. So I'm really happy that you mentioned Iceland in particular, because that was something that I could really resonate with and something that I really felt.
Is there such purity there? I mean, the fact that you can just like drink the water from any waterfalls and that there are rainbows and you can hear like the earth gurgling as it's like, you know, all the hot steam and juices are coming up. I mean, it's just, oh my God, it's so beautiful there.
Absolutely. But I guess with the flower botanical, also like talking about like the experience with the roses and the peonies, I think that was something that was very just real because it does emulate different feelings. And like I have been to like plush rose gardens. Like I thought about my neighbor. She used to grow roses in her garden. And unfortunately, one time I fell on a rose bush. That wasn't fun. But the roses themselves were gorgeous to look at and like beautiful. And then talking about like the California redwoods, I just flashed back to like when I was in San Fran a couple of years ago and talking about peonies, which are my absolute favorite flower. And actually, just a sidebar, what are the botanical effects of peonies in general? This is more a selfish question than anything else because I'm curious.
Let me ask you a question first because I don't Let me ask you a question. Okay, so will you play along with a little exercise with me?
Yes. And to the listeners at home, please play along too. Like, yeah, this is interactive.
This is a fun one. Okay. So close your eyes and go back to a time in your childhood when you played around plants or trees or flowers. Mm-hmm. And just think about what you were up to, what you were doing, and see if you can identify a favorite flower or plant or tree. And then see if you can give it three words, like to describe its personality or its character, the way it made you feel, without using color or scent. And then when you're ready, open your eyes, tell me what you're thinking, what it is, and the three words you used to describe it.
So I think the flower, oh my gosh, I can't even remember the name of it. I think it's a perennial flower. And I'm going to describe it by color, but I'll give you the three words after, because maybe you'll know the name of the flower. It's this flower that has a purple, it's like lavender purple on top. It's like very short, like petals. But the thing that I remember most about it is that it smelled like onions.
Onions?
Oh. And I think it was like a perennial flower. I grew up in Pennsylvania.
Huh.
Yeah, it smelled like green onions. And
was it an onion?
It very well could have been. I believe it was a perennial type of flower where, you know, like it came back every year. And it didn't like need like that much attention. But I felt curious. I feel like that's one of the words. Because this was the same neighbor who grew the roses in her garden. So the way that the house was set up was there was the street down here, and then there was this big long driveway that my neighbor and I shared. And at each end of the driveway, it kind of forked into a Y. There was my house, and then there was my neighbor's house. So we were these two houses on a hill on an otherwise flat street. So like we shared kind of like a very special connection because we had our own little community up there, right? Of just these two houses. But I felt curious. I felt hungry. Maybe it's just the fact that it's around dinner time in New York City, and maybe I'm just projecting, but you know, I loved onions and I still love onions to this day. And I think that might be part of the stem of it. Cause I wasn't a super curious eater when I was a kid. I was very much like cut and dry, but ever since, like, you know, I have my background now in food and cocktails, and I'm a very curious and a very adventurous eater. And I felt sad because when my neighbor told me that they were going to die, like it was like a sad hopeful mix because like my neighbor said, oh, well, they're going to die, you know, but they'll come back next year. I was like, I was like 5 or 6 and I'm like, well, I don't want them to die. Like I just want them to be here like all year. I want to like see these guys all year. So I feel like those were the four emotions I sent, I felt, or the four words that I felt in that moment.
And what's one flower that you just love today that you just is just super intrigues you today?
Gardenias.
And what are three words to describe a gardenia?
Three words to describe a gardenia. Nostalgic. The reason why I love gardenias is because it's my mom's favorite flower, and she doesn't do well with fresh flowers, but she would have the scent of gardenias throughout the house. And it's just like a very comforting, nostalgic sense. My mom's still alive. I feel like I should preface this. Like, it's not like I'm remembering her. It's like, just like a nostalgic scent. Cause I feel like scent is just such a strong, connector with memory. But nostalgic, delicate, cause they are just very like frail and fragile. And another word to describe a gardenia, light. The scent of them is just, it's so recognizable, but it's so light. It's just comforting to an extent. And I feel like I'm giving all these additional words with these, but like, I'm gonna stick with nostalgic,
it's okay,
delicate, and light.
Okay, so the first exercise is, and I hope your listeners wrote down some words because it's pretty interesting. The first exercise, usually you describe your childhood flower in the words that you bring your greatest, in the words that are the way that you bring your greatest gifts into the world. So the way that you, Miles, bring your greatest gifts into the world is by your curiosity, your hunger. And so hunger could mean anything, right? It doesn't necessarily mean like, I want to fill my belly. It could be like hunger to learn more or hunger to share. And then the third was, you said sad, hopeful, which also seems a little bit like a recognition of impermanence, a recognition that things change, a recognition that things don't always last forever. So those would be the way that you bring your greatest gifts into the world. Does that resonate?
It honestly does. I think in a very relevant, real example is I went to school for accounting with a minor in law and business computers, whatever. I'm now currently getting my master's in psych. And it was because I was sitting here and I was just like, I just want to know more. Like, I have that hunger to keep learning. I was feeling a little bit complacent and just recognizing, like, how am I going to leave my mark on the world? What's a way that I can do that? And the reason why I started my master's program was actually because I wanted to talk about the disparity or the gap between conversations about mental health and just mental well-being in corporate America. So I feel like that all three of those just very much hit, like, yeah, that resonated a little too well. Are you sure you didn't look me up beforehand?
And then the second exercise of something you're intrigued with today is typically what you're wanting to move more into or what you're wanting to expand within yourself or grow within yourself. So you said nostalgic, connector, connection, delicate, which I could also interpret as like vulnerable, and lightness and comfort. So maybe I would just say, based on what you said, you're in a particular spot in your life where you are moving into more connection, vulnerability, and finding comfort and lightness in that rather than have it be scary. Does
that sound? That also resonates. That is such a cool, like, such
it's
a cool
trick.
Yeah, no, that is so cool because it does resonate a lot. I think right now one thing I'm working on and that I have been working on for the past like year or so is my relationships with, you know, my family, with my friends, and just very much like finding that newfound comfort within those relationships, and like not even comfortability of like being able to like have them a part of my support network, but also comfortability in the sense of just existing and being with that. So that also very much resonates with me. Oh my gosh, I'm flustered. I didn't expect to be exposed like this today.
And then we'll go back to your original question, which I promised I'd get back to. I just was curious if peony was going to be in the mix. But peony, because you asked about peony is like the super driver at abundance and prosperity. It's like, you know, if you've ever buried your face in one, it's just wow. And it gives us that sense of awe and gratitude of what we have in life, which then creates even more. So it's like the quintessential flower for dissolving anything in our DNA around scarcity or lack or not enoughness, and really amplifying possibilities, money, prosperity, anything we would consider to be abundance. That's peony.
Peony, that also resonates with me. And I think that's why I love them. It's like, it's funny because the one thing that I'm not even in a relationship, and I'm preferencing that because the one thing I'm most afraid for my wedding expenses is the fact that I want exclusively peonies at every single table and how expensive that's going to be. So it's like, I think, you know, whenever it comes to like money and financial security and prosperity, that is something very much on my radar at all times, is where can I, you know, always like increase revenue or decrease expenses personally, at least.
Fill your peony budget.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the only reason I work today is just so that I can have a sea of peonies at my wedding.
You're going to have a summer wedding.
Oh, exactly. Oh my gosh. That is, wow. So if I was in a position where I felt like I was lacking one of these, the elixirs would be a good thing to add to my routine, right?
I think that we're in a position like where maybe essential oils were in the 1980s or 90s. Like, you know, maybe some of the hippie moms were giving their kids lavender, but now it's like everybody knows what lavender oil is. And flower elixirs, they're different from essential oils because they don't have a scent, but they're kind of like at that timing that essential oils were in the 80s, 90s, where some people know about them. Not everybody knows about them. But I honestly, Miles, think that this is going to be one of the, you know, natural medicines of the future because we're working so much with electronics, because we're human and being human is not easy, right? Being human is hard. And I feel like it's just kind of gotten even harder and harder and harder, like over the years. So, you know, especially the last couple of years. So like, it's normal that all of us have moments where we feel lonely, or we feel like, am I making a difference? Or we feel isolated, like talk about the last couple of years, isolated or under attack from our families who don't understand us, or Or we want to sleep better. We want more laughter. Or we just need more energy.
Absolutely. You
know, or like we have childhood stuff going on that's like limiting us in some way. And we just like want to get to the bottom of it. So like all these things, there's a flower for it. It's unbelievable. Any kind of like neurotic, neurosis, crazy, you know, anyone can come out with me with the thing that they think is like the craziest, not crazy. There's a flower for it. We're all so human and it's so normal. And the fact that there's something natural and gentle and even babies can have it and pregnant moms and you can feel better within a few days without pharmaceuticals, without side effects. It's like awesome.
That is awesome. Like it. And actually, like before the show, I was saying that, you know, I'm feeling a little tired and a little just, you know, maybe stressed out. And I think this might be just like the perfect time to kind of introduce our cocktail for today's episode because, yeah, we are so human. And also as a 24 going on 25 year old human, I do like to drink. So is there... Okay. Do you have a recipe you can share with us?
Yes, this is happy hour time. Okay, so I hear you. You don't have you're feeling a little run down. You need a little energy. My question for you would be, if I were your bartender, is it more like a physical rundown? Like you just literally like want to take a nap, and so you just need like a physical boost of energy, or is it that you want more inspiration and laughter, or is it that you just have like too many things on your plate or you just want to feel more calm? Like which of those?
So like,
why are you low energy?
If there was a option E, all of the above, I would select that. But so we can file down. I think right now, one thing that, you know, I kind of mentioned a little bit is wearing a couple of different hats throughout the week, right? I do podcasting, I host, and I sometimes guest on other people's podcasts. I still want to maintain a social life. I'm a grad student. I work in private equity. And it's like, I think my brain is, it never really wants to turn off. And yeah. I think that might be why I'm feeling a little bit run down is because it's just going and going and going. And there's no like, there's no mental break. So maybe I guess the last option where, or a combination of the last two options of having too much on my plate and wanting to just feel like a little bit more calm and feeling like, hey, Mr. Brain up there, you can shut off for a little bit.
Let's
take a break.
Let's do an experiment and see if what you said you needed is what you're drawn to flower-wise. And I hope you can see this. I'm sorry, listeners, that you can't see this, but I'm just going to show them real quick. Some photographs. And you tell, there's only six. So just kind of get a good look. And then you're going to tell me which one that you're most drawn to.
All right. These flowers are beautiful for the people who can't see it at home. They're...
Okay, last one. Anything stand out to you?
Okay. I think the second one was what I was most drawn to.
Oh, this one?
Yeah. I feel like it just looks like a vacation. Like, and I think that's when my brain is like, hey, you need a trip or you need to like cut back a little.
That is so perfect. You have no idea how perfect it is. Let me take you on a trip here. It's called the Radiant Energy Mango Ginger Smoothie.
That sounds delicious.
It's kind of like going to a tropical island. You want to hear what's in it?
Absolutely.
Do you want to know like just the ingredients or the measurements or?
You can give me the ingredients. And then for the listeners, like I think a lot of us can probably relate to like needing that radiant energy. We'll put a link to the recipe or we'll put the recipe itself in the description with the measurements. Okay.
So inside, this is kind of like a little tropical island vacation. It's fresh orange juice. Coconut milk, ooh, mango, banana, shredded coconut, fresh grated ginger.
Yum.
Rum. Ugh. Your favorite rum, whatever.
Love it.
Rum. And then what you do is you take the Radiant Energy Elixir, which has flower essences for boosting your body's natural energy. So you drop that in the drink and then you mist on top of it. because in the mist, we add essential oils and it actually does have a scent. So you put the supercharged flower juice inside the drink and then you mist it, which is Palo Santo and Douglas fir. So it's kind of like when you put that drink up to your mouth, first you'll be like smelling the Palo Santo. It's kind of like a little ceremony in your nose. And then you'll get the tropical energy smoothie drink.
I love that. And okay, so I love that for like a slew of reasons. It's so thoughtful because one thing that I feel like a lot of people don't realize, and I think I've talked about it a couple of times on the show, is you drink not only with your eyes, not only with your mouth, but also with your nose.
Yeah.
Like the first thing that I will be excited for a cocktail is if it smells nice and if it has a nice ambiance as I'm lifting it to my mouth. That's actually like, I'm not a sommelier or anything like that, but I'm pretty sure that's like a part of like when you're drinking and tasting wine is that you want to get the smell of it because you're going to kind of taste and appreciate the notes a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I just love how thoughtful it is. And then also all the ingredients in it just sound like things that like will make me feel better. Just coconut and ginger. I love ginger. I put in all my, anytime I'm sick, I put ginger in my soup because it just adds this like warming feeling. Like, and I believe ginger helps with digestion, but I love ginger. So like when I heard fresh ginger, I was just like, you had me. I mean, you had me at the beginning. Like, and then you said, I love every ingredient. I'm just like, so like excited about. I'm actually going to have to, so I'm, one thing that I do for my own like mental peace and to like disconnect is I have things called me weekends. So this actually upcoming weekend is a me weekend where I don't make any plans. I just keep it completely reserved for anything I need to do for myself. And it's not like groceries. It's not chores. It's literally whatever I want to do that weekend. So tomorrow I'm getting a facial and I'm going to take myself out to lunch, but I'm also going to pick up the ingredients because this sounds fabulous.
Wow. I want a me weekend too. That's such a great idea. I'm going to, after we stop recording, I'm going to get your mailing address and I'll send you the Radiant Energy so you can add that to the mix.
Oh, thank you. Oh my gosh. Yes. I'm so excited. And I was looking through your website like right before we got on and everything just looks fantastic. I mean, the website is beautiful itself and your social media profiles are also just very aesthetic and like, it made me want to go outside and run. Honestly, I don't even run. Like, I always make the joke. It's not a great joke. It's not original, but it's like cardio. I don't speak Spanish. But literally just kind of like seeing like the botanicals and seeing like your just energy and your presence. And I'm sure the listeners can even attest like after like hearing our conversation.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Your connection with nature is just so unmatched to like people that I've naturally experienced in life. It is so refreshing too. And I think it gives me a new outlook as I'm going through my day and seeing different ways like, oh, am I having an off day because I'm not getting enough vitamin D, or maybe I didn't like have that like exposure to like the flowers or plants? Because there's some days where if I'm in my apartment, the only thing that's living in my apartment right now is myself, and maybe some moldy cheese in the back of my fridge if I haven't cleaned it out. Other than that, everything in my apartment isn't necessarily living. And, you know, I have candles. I have like whatever the case may be to try and add life to it. But I think maybe now what I'm thinking is maybe I'm so stressed because I need that like little bit of like boost from nature. And I'm not getting it whenever I'm locked in my apartment all day. So I guess you mentioned earlier that you have a couple different hobbies, but the one that I actually kind of wanted to double back to was you said that you like to meditate. And I think one thing that I'm curious is, do you spray the elixirs before you meditate? Does it help aid? I'm very curious about all this. And I feel like I'm just asking a million questions. So I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's your job. So it's like meditation in a bottle. You can literally use it anytime, but absolutely. I have some right next to where I do meditation every morning, and I, you know, apply the anointing oils and I used Radiant Energy actually this morning, the one you picked. And I think there's one thing that flower essences and meditation have in common, and that is that they adjust and align our inner world. And when our inner world is aligned, our outer world reflects back differently to us. I mean, I think we forget this all the time. I try to remind myself this as much as I possibly can, that we are creating our reality. We are not living a life of like, oh, something's just happening to me and I'm such a victim. Like, we create it. We have the power to create it. And oftentimes what's being reflected to us from the outer world is how we are on the inside. So if we can use things like going out into nature or meditation practice, which I do every day, and I don't know how people survive without it. I can't recommend it enough, along with flower essences, which is like, if you don't have time to meditate, if you just get the flower essences, it's like meditation in a bottle. All of those things help us have vast mind versus small mind. Like, you know that feeling, Miles, when you go outside, maybe you're in a park and you see a huge tree, or maybe you look at the beach and the ocean, or you see like a mountain landscape and suddenly you feel small.
Absolutely.
You're just like, whoa, like kind of, or like Iceland, you know, you just get that like breathtaking beauty of Mother Nature and you feel tiny. But when you feel so tiny, you start to feel one with everything. And then you feel like you had said before, like, that interconnectedness. And then you feel that you are as vast as that mountain. You are as vast as that waterfall, the beach, the tree, right? And so all of these things, for me, I find from personal experience to be invaluable at helping me come back to a vast mind versus like getting into like a little tiny thinking, figure it outy, struggling, suffering, pain, like tiny box, right? Like, we can either be in the tiny box and just like run loops and knots around ourselves, Or we can access, you know, whether it's through nature meditation or flower essences or me weekends, that kind of open, spacious, vast mind, which then in turn reflects a reality externally back to us that is much more like wild and free and spacious.
That was beautiful. I'm like actually like just like, wow. I think that is such, I keep using the word refreshing, but that's like the word that comes to mind with this conversation and with this like kind of like refresh of thinking, right? I think aligning our thoughts to think big and not be small and to not get within ourselves and not to like get down on ourselves. It's so easy to be your worst critic, your worst enemy, to be like, you're small, like you're insignificant, you're unimportant. But I think having that self-reflection and realizing that you're part of this bigger, grander thing of life, it's just, it's amazing. And the fact that, you know, I just, one thing that I feel like I need to start doing that I'm like resonating from this conversation is just really kind of take a step back and reflect and just realize how much more is out there. Like, I live in a concrete jungle. It was in that song, you know, about New York, concrete jungle, whatever the case may be. But I think one thing that I just need to start thinking about more is just ways to reconnect. And thank you. Just, I mean, this has been just, I don't know. It's like transformative. Like, whenever you kind of watch like a plant that you plant the seed, right? And then you water it, you put in the sun or you don't, depending upon what plant it is. And then you see it bloom. Like, I feel like it's so transformative. And I feel like this is the planting of the seed. And I'm hoping that people at home are also resonating with this. Like, thinking about ways that you can change and transform your daily routine, your daily life, in order to kind of have this place where you can end up blooming.
And there is one really cool thing I want to share. I think that will blow your mind, because it blew my mind. Because there's, right, there's the like, I just want to transform my mind so I can feel better. But then what you were saying about sometimes we feel small and powerless, like, well, who am I really? And what difference do I make? Or what am I really here to do? Or like, oh my God, there's so many problems. Like, how can little old me make a difference, right? So there was this 10-year study in Boston where they looked at a large group of people. And here's what they found. It is crazy. They found that if your friend's friend's friend became wildly happy, that has more of a beneficial effect on you than if I put $5,000 cash in your pocket. Huh? Okay, so
okay, I'm ready to understand why that is, because 5K sounds great.
Right? 5K sounds great. And then the converse is true. If you become wildly happy, that has more of a beneficial effect than on your friend's friend's friend. This is someone you don't even know. More of a beneficial effect on them than if someone put $5,000 cash in their pocket. So what that means is, if you, even if you're living in a concrete jungle in New York City, you take a me weekend, right? It means that like in every moment, our state of mind is impacting people that we love and we know, and also people that we don't know, that we're in this spider web of connection every moment. Like, that's almost scary, like how powerful we are, right? And like, what if there's somebody in apartment 9F who's like really, really down, super depressed? Maybe they haven't left the house in a while. Maybe they lost a loved one and they're just really struggling. But then there's you in apartment 3C or whatever, you're close by, right? And you took a me weekend and you're in your bubble bath and you're like laughing and you're listening to music and you're having a great time and you're dancing naked in your room or whatever. And suddenly that person in the other apartment is like, oh, I just feel this like wave of okayness. I think I'm going to be okay because of what you're doing in your apartment. You know, so if all of us, I think, took that to heart and really had a sense of that more often, of how freaking powerful we are, that we impact people that we don't even know in every moment. Like, how could we not hold ourselves as precious? How could we be hard on ourselves? How could we hate ourselves? How could we be self-critical when we're that like creatively powerful?
Wow. I've had a lot of guests on this show. You know, I think I've probably had people of all different backgrounds, but I've never been left speechless the way that I have been after like having a conversation and just engaging with another person. I think there's been so many just nuggets of wisdom and just ways to kind of like transform your outlook that you've given. And I mean, it's so crazy to think about that, right? Me just operating in my daily life, not recognizing how many other people it affects and how many other people will affect me. So it's, I mean, putting all this into perspective, it's just, it's amazing.
It really is. And I think we're at this like bizarro time in our lives where the world and the collective is going through this massive purification, and it's freaking hard. It's been hard. The last couple of years have been hard, right? For every one of us. And so I guess the last thing I would just want to leave your listeners with is like, it's so natural to struggle. It's so normal. It's so human. And like all of those parts of us that show up and have a rough time are so lovable. And as we move through this like crazy wild ride of human, I mean, I think it's like a time of purification and expansion. Like nobody really knows what's going on or what's coming next, right? I mean, we kind of are like living our lives as if everything's kind of normal, but like there's a lot of unknown going on right now. And a lot, right? We don't know what's happening. Like like old structures are being like composted and we don't know what's coming next. So whatever you can do to support all the parts of yourself, to nourish yourself, to love yourself, because you do make such a big difference in the world. And I know that myself and my team here in Phoenix are always happy for people to call and email and DM us if you want to be connected to a flower like we did with Miles here. And we're just like happy to help in any way.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Katie. I've so enjoyed our conversation. It's been so fun. And like I said, just it's really put things into perspective for me. And we'll have all of your, you know, your handles, your book, your website, everything will be linked in the bio description for everyone to go check out the amazing Katie has. I'm so happy that you're able to join us. And thank you so much for just leaving the listeners with such valuable pieces of knowledge. And do you have any kind of, I knew that was kind of the final words, but do you have any final words before we close this out?
I would just say that, I mean, and I think this comes out of me personally having gone through the birth canal of probably one of the most challenging times of my life. So I understand and have so much compassion for anybody who's having a rough time right now. And it is, it's like you've got to be your own best friend. We are so freaking hard on ourselves. You know, we get so down on ourselves. And there comes a point where we have to like take our devotion and turn it back towards ourselves. Enough looking outside, enough wanting this from that other person outside of us, enough wanting, you know, someone to love us. Like, no, stop. Like, it has to start from right here. Like, we have to love ourselves. That's where it starts. We must cultivate that love and compassion from within. And I know it sounds like, you know, it sounds like it could be easy or sounds simple. It's not really easy. It's really hard. But at a certain point, I think you got to do whatever you got to do to find a way to cultivate that love for yourself, because then I think we really do become free.
Wow. I'm not even going to. I'm going to leave it at that. I think that's what I kind of want the last kind of resonating thing to be with the listeners. So Katie, thank you again so much for all of your wisdom and all of your advice. And again, all of your bio, all of her links will be linked in the description. And I will catch you guys on the next episode of Make It Cute. from both of us. We'll see you later. Bye.